This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A Superior Court judge in Wake County today halted fracking in the state. The court order prohibits the Mining and Energy Commission from accepting or processing new fracking permits. That decision is a legal victory for environmental groups across the state, but it is temporary. Dave DeWitt is WNC's environment reporter, and he's been following the latest developments. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
All right, so tell us about this. So who brought the action? Who asked for the injunction?
The Southern Environmental Law Center, on behalf of a couple of environmental groups and a landowner near one of the potential fracking sites. And that was back, I think, in January that they brought this lawsuit, and they challenged it based on the same thing that was challenged in the Berger versus McCrory case, the separation of powers between the legislature and the executive branch.
So you've got this Mining and Energy Commission that would issue these permits. Now they have an injunction. You can't do it. No more permits for fracking. And that's because there's a debate over and a legal dispute now about essentially the legality of this commission.
That's right. It was created in 2012 by the legislature, and appointees were all made by the legislature, the majority of them, I should say. And their job was to walk through the fracking process, develop a set of rules, and then take in permits and either allow or disallow the permits. So the very constitutionality of that commission was challenged in this particular thing, just like it was with the Coal Ash Management Commission, which ended up becoming this McCrory versus Berger case, where the legislature took the lead in establishing this commission and then having the executive branch oversee it as part of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. And Governor McCrory went to court based on that Coal Ash Management Commission creation. He won back a couple months ago. A three-judge panel found in his favor. Now, that case is going to go to the Court of Appeals, and that will be heard in June next month. And then a decision on that will be sometime later in the month. And now there's really two cases, fracking and coal ash, the two largest environmental issues in the state right now, hinging on that case.
So the main legal question, can the legislature create a body that then becomes part of the executive branch? In this case, Mining Energy Commission is front and center in this particular debate. They're the ones who issue the permits. If we're not sure if that's a legal body, their permits are not good right now, according to this Wake County Superior Court injunction.
Right.
So that means that we have to wait until the end of legal challenge to the commission itself to find out if fracking permits are going to continue.
That's right. And when we get to the end of that process later this summer, when they make that decision based on the McCrory Berger case and coal ash management, and now this fracking, mining, and energy commission that's attached to it, they could have to, if it's found for Governor McCrory, they'll have to start all over with these commissions, and they'll have to come up with some new rules, and it'll be starting from scratch again.
And while the governor has sued the Senate over, or the Senate leader over, the coal ash commission, the McCrory administration is also opposed to this Mining and Energy Commission and the way it was formed as well.
But did not file any lawsuits over it. So not in a legal sense did they have the same issue, but it got enjoined into this case. And it really is about the same thing. It's the legislature creating a commission that the executive branch oversees and has little power over who the appointees are.
All right. So that we know the main case itself now is in the appellate phase. What about the injunction? Can opponents of this decision appeal the injunction?
It's unclear. In this particular injunction, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources opposed it, but the attorney general didn't necessarily. And the attorney general would have to move this along. And, of course, the attorney general is a Democrat who is running for governor here soon, most people would believe. So it'll be interesting politically to see how that part plays out. But it's also interesting politically just to watch sort of different factions of the Republican leadership hash this out. Now it's in the court, of course.
All right, Dave. Thanks very much for reporting on this.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WNC's environment reporter. Well, meanwhile, the legislature, at the legislature, House representatives are preparing to debate a $22.2 billion spending plan. Posturing over parts of the draft began last week. Yesterday, about 100 amendments to the budget draft were introduced. It's a spending measure that includes more money for teachers, state employees, and incentives. Republican Representative Nelson Dollar attributes the increased spending to increased enrollment.
Enrollment growth accounts for over $410 million. And when I say enrollment growth, what we're talking about is Medicaid enrollment growth, net new people who will be estimated to be on the Medicaid rolls over the course of the next 2 years, our public school enrollment, which is growing, and our university enrollment, which is also growing.
So here are the Republicans promising, at least in the House, to spend more money. Critics say the increased spending doesn't go far enough. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry has been following the budget debate and joins us now from the Capitol. Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Frank.
So this is a long process, this budget rollout. You should maybe give us a bit of a primer on this. The governor's already given us his plan. Now we're hearing from the House, and the Senate is next. Tell us how this process goes.
So more or less a fiscal marathon. The governor introduced his budget proposal back in early March. Now it's the House's turn. The House alone, this budget rollout proposal, amendments, debate, vote, takes about a week. In a few more weeks, the Senate will then roll out its funding proposal. Then the leaders from the House and the leaders of the Senate will go into conference. Conference is almost like a secret court, and reporters are not allowed in there. The majority of legislators will not be part of those conversations. When the leaders emerge, they'll have a budget. They'll sign it, and then perhaps we'll all be on our merry way. It's not that simple, but that's kind of the overview of it. At this point, we're not quite halfway through the process is one way to look at it.
All right. So the one we're talking about, the one proposed by the House leadership, a big budget, much bigger than the governor's proposal. You mentioned that was released in March. And it's an increase from the last budget. How much and why?
So it's an increase of about $1.3 billion, which is 5 to 6% of a jump over the current budget. You heard from Republican Nelson Dollar a moment ago. He's the lead budget writer. And it's interesting, I think, to hear him talk. Some of the positioning that's come from Republican leaders is trying to attribute $1 billion of additional state spending to growth, because there have been some who said that this isn't a particularly Republican approach by growing state government by more than $1 billion. But Dollar was Nelson Dollar was quick to attribute that to the increases, as you heard, in various sectors of state spending. There also, worth noting, is a projected $400 million surplus. Some of that has to go into state savings by statute, but some of that obviously is, you know, on the table, part of this budget conversation and debate.
And that $400 million, too, represents about 6%, which is roughly what we're talking about as the increase, and much of that increase in education spending, right?
That is correct. So there will be an increase for teachers. That goes with state employees. There is an increase for scholarship opportunities, private school vouchers. There is growth within education, but, you know, some of the Democrats say it's growth, but it's not enough growth. It doesn't get North Carolina back to the national levels it was at pre-recession.
So if you're a Republican, on the one hand, if you're appealing to your conservative base, you have to sort of make apologies for growing the government and spending more. On the other hand, you would love to take credit for spending more on education. That's been an area in which the Republicans have been quite vulnerable. And now they're saying, look, we're increasing teachers' salaries again. We're going to buy more textbooks. But then Democratic leader Larry Hall, who's talked about education spending, said it's not enough. Let's listen to what he had to say.
We're not going to be doing enough on teacher pay, and we're going to have to do that. Teaching fellows, we need to get that back in the budget and get that funded. And we need to be on a path for our public school teachers, all of them, to get to or above the national average, and we're not doing that. So there's some token things done in the budget. As someone said, it's feel good or maybe look good, but if you look beneath it, we're not doing what we need to do and be responsible to the citizens of North Carolina.
So, Jeff, what would this House proposal do for teacher pay, for instance?
It would increase teacher pay by a minimum of $2,000 across the board. Now, there is still a tiered system. So some teachers, educators, are going to be moving through different steps within that tier, and that would trigger a larger bump. But, you know, collectively, I guess the broad way of looking at it is that teachers would receive, under this proposal, a 2% increase in salary. And, of course, that could become greater depending on the supplements that educators are getting locally.
What about other state employees?
2% for the most part is the number that's on the table. And again, as we're talking about this, just keeping in mind that this is the framework for a much larger conversation. This is a deliberation. And this is, you know, if you want to think of a fiscal pendulum swinging, the Senate, I mean, conventional wisdom is the state Senate is not going to be okay with a lot of this, or at least at the levels we're seeing. Now, whether that's teacher pay, whether that's incentives, this more or less is the first offer at the negotiating table. And, you know, they're going to make concessions and trades and deals. And some of these percentages and some of these incentive figures are likely going to back down once the Senate has its opportunity to introduce a spending plan.
The budget proposal, at least this House version, brings back some film incentives and the Job Development Investment Grant Program, as well as historic preservation tax credits. Are these measures, how does the governor feel about these?
Governor likes them. Governor's been touting the historic preservation tax credit all over, from east to west, mountains to the coast. Has, you know, repeatedly said that the JDIG, Job Development Investment Grant Program, needs more money, needs a stopgap measure to get Commerce, the Department of Commerce, through the rest of this year, and then needs a long-term plan. So the governor is very much in favor of this. The House, clearly, $158 million in incentives for next year, is trying to align itself with the governor here. Those figures, $60 million for film, $57 million for JDIG, if those are to stay in, the Senate's going to get some kind of compromise, some kind of deal will have to be worked out, because they have not been on board to that level, if at all, with some of these measures.
All right, Jeff, 30 seconds left. The governor's given us his plan. The House has rolled out a version of its. Senate is next month. What happens now in the House?
The House had originally said they were going to take up a full debate today. It appears, since those 100 amendments as part of the reason, that debate's going to get pushed back to possibly this evening or even tomorrow, creating one of the longest days of the session so far. As the House pushes this thing through, it will vote on it twice, and then the Senate will have its chance in a couple of weeks.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Just ahead, who really was first in flight? Was it North Carolina or Ohio? David McCullough settles the bet. The Pulitzer Prize winner has written about the Wright brothers, and we'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.